For the second year in a row, eastern Australia is in the grip of the La Niña weather pattern. The warmer waters in the western Pacific creating another very wet summer. One of the world's top experts in weather patterns, El Niño and La Niña, is here in Australia this week. Mike McFadden is a senior scientist at the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. That's an American body. He joins you now. Mike, good morning. Welcome to Australia.
Good morning, Fran.
Mike, is our current La Niña weather pattern running to its normal course, or is it more extreme than usual? It certainly looks extreme.
I would say this is a typical La Niña in terms of its strength and its evolution. Nothing unusual about it, other than the fact that it's the second one in the past 2 years, and we tend to find these now running together in successive years.
So just 2 years? I mean, in terms of a normal run, or what we think of now as a normal run of La Niña, just 2 years, this should be it? We should have a break for a minute?
We should. We've not had a La Niña that's gone on for 3 years. That would be very unusual. But we have noticed in the past 30 years or so, they tend to come in pairs. So hopefully after this one, we'll catch a break.
So if they come in pairs, La Niña brings the summer rain. El Niño is drier, obviously. Does La Niña, is it necessarily followed up immediately with El Niño?
It's not that simple. These are they can be followed by an El Niño. La Niñas can be followed by El Niños, and vice versa, but it's not guaranteed. There's a degree of irregularity that still puzzles us and is one of the challenges in terms of predicting these phenomena.
We are getting better at that, aren't we? Science didn't predict the big El Niño in 1997. Most of us, I think, hadn't heard the term until then, really. But measurement and prediction has got a lot better.
That is true. Over the years, we've developed an observing system in the Pacific that helps us to monitor the evolution of these events, and the data can be fed into forecast models that can predict the evolution of these events 2 to 3 seasons in advance, typically.
And how do we do that?
Well, it's much like weather forecasting. You feed the data from the field that you collect in the field from buoys and from other kinds of devices, and you send that through a satellite to a ground station, and then weather centers, weather prediction centers all over the world have access to that almost immediately. They can put it into their computer models, and they can step them forward in time using equations that describe the physics of these events, just like in weather forecasting, but more on a seasonal time scale.
And does that data help us with any kind of answer to the million-dollar question, which is the impact of climate change on the frequency and intensity of El Niño and La Niña years? Do we know the answer to that question?
We do not know the answer to that question. It is one of the burning questions in the field at the moment. To answer that question, we rely on these big global coupled ocean atmosphere climate models that they can tell us general trends that the Earth will warm as we continue to pump greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. When you get down to the details of a region like the tropical Pacific and what impacts it might have on weather in different parts of the world, we're now into a higher level of complexity, and there's a greater uncertainty in what those trends might be for El Niño and La Niña. So at the moment, the question is really outstanding, but it's one the scientific community is very much interested in solving.
You've been doing this research for more than 25 years, I think, Mike. It's a very heightened political climate now in your country and in ours, indeed, in terms of climate science. Is that having any impact on your work? Are you noticing any change in attitudes? Or funding?
Well, it's a very politically charged issue in the U.S., of course, and it does affect the science. We have a Congress that has reduced funding for climate research, and that will trickle down to agencies like mine, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So it will have an impact. It's not going to severely affect our progress. It's probably going to slow it down a little bit for a couple of years.
You're in this country for 3 months, I think, working and talking with climate scientists and climate researchers. Do you notice much difference between the climate science debate in this country to yours?
My sense is that in Australia, although there are big differences in opinion and perspective, it seems to be less polarized than the U.S., and I also think that Australia is making greater progress in terms of actually addressing it. I understand that there's going to be a carbon tax instituted in Australia later this year. We don't even have discussions of that kind of legislative approach to regulating greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S.
Okay, Mike, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very much welcome. Thank you.
Mike McFadden is a senior scientist at the U.S. National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, in Seattle. And today he'll present a paper at the annual Australian Meteorological and Oceanographic Society Conference in Sydney.